Hello everyone, and welcome to another Recovery Synopsis here on the Cycling Dane Extra Channel or on the Cycling Dane Podcast. This is, of course, of the Giro d'Italia 2024, Stage 6, the Gravel Stage. And as always, I'm joined by Patrick Blake of Audio Cycling and one third of the Echelon Cycling Podcast. Very well dressed today as well. But what happened on the stage today?
It was a very chaotic day. It lived up to the billing because this is the gravel stage of the Giro d'Italia, the kind of mini Ciclone Bianchi, lots of people have been saying. And part of the chaos of today was actually the fact that a lot of people thought the breakaway was going to win today. So therefore, there was this huge break formation phase. The first 70K is like flat and no breakaway event. You know, people tried but failed. And eventually we went on to the Category 4 Volterra climb, which, by the way, how is it only a Category 4 climb? Because it was like so long. That's a little bit underappreciated. But anyway, that's beside the point. Breakaways sort of went on there. You know, so many went that it's almost futile trying to recount all of them. But eventually we had a big breakaway, which included the people who eventually got up the road in Plap, Pelayo Sanchez, and Julian Alaphilippe. But it was probably about 20 riders, but UAE Team Emirates just brought it back for some reason. I can only presume because they wanted a Pogacar stage victory today. But eventually what happened is that a small group got off the front, which included Caden Groves, Alaphilippe, Lap, Pelayo Sanchez, Matteo Trentin, and some other riders. Groves was climbing incredibly well today. He won the intermediate sprint ahead of Fiorelli. So he gained into second place in the Ciclimino classification. But then we came on to our first kind of gravel sector, the big one of the day. It's kind of like two, but they're so close together, it may as well just be one big one. Nothing really much happened here in the GC group. There was a slight kind of touching of wheels. I think Aina Rubio kind of had to put a foot down, which meant that Ben O'Connor needed to put a foot down and Danny Martinez, but they all eventually came back in. I think there was a crash later on which involved Juan P. Lopez, Will Barter, Damiano Caruso, but we rolled through there no problems. We came to the second gravel sector, which again the breakaways still got about a minute 30 advantage, 2 minutes ish. Ineos Grenadiers start working on the front with Sheffield and Arensman. On this gravel sector is a massive crosswind coming from the right hand side. Nothing really much happened there. There were some splits when Ineos put it into the gutter, but nothing stuck, and everything eventually came back together. And everyone was talking about, there's this big 20% climb coming up, this berg where Pogacar's going to launch. The breakaway came up to that, Plap attacked early, Alaphilippe followed, Pelayo Sanchez, but they all came back together. And in the GC group, it wasn't Pogacar who attacked. It was Romain Bardet, of all people, and he came over the top and immediately started like twizzling his finger. You know, if you watch the video, you'll see what I mean, but you'll know what I mean if you're on the podcast, the kind of working together symbol, and nobody really did. But up ahead, it was Alaphilippe, Plap, and Pelayo Sanchez who were hurtling down towards the finish line. Plap was just kind of working on the front for some reason, even though Virtual Pink was out the window at this point. So if he was trying to win the stage, it was probably not the wisest move just to sit on the front. Alaphilippe and Pelayo Sanchez were behind, and it looked like Alaphilippe was going to be the one to be winning this. He was in second wheel, and he launched with about 200 meters to go. Pelayo Sanchez had to go the long way around on the left-hand side, but Alaphilippe tightened up the previous two-time world champion. And it was Pelayo Sanchez who took the win today from the breakaway. As everyone predicted, it did come from the breakaway. But it took a long time for that breakaway to go. In the group behind, though, those splits which happened on the 20% climb, nothing kind of came of that. And eventually, I think Piccolo pinged it off the front as well to try and nab fourth place. But that was about it. And it was kind of just a sprint behind amongst all these GC people. It's probably about a 30-ish rider group. So nothing really happened in GC today, apart from maybe Juanpe might drop out of the top 10. But the top 10 of today's stage is that Pelayo Sanchez takes his first Grand Tour victory ahead of Julian Alaphilippe and Luke Plap. Piccolo did get fourth place after an opportunistic late move. Jonathan Navarez, who's having a fantastic Giro d'Italia, came fifth, followed by Luca Mezgech, Quentin Hermans, Nick Schultz, Danny Martinez in ninth, and Alexey Lutsenko in 10th. It's also worth noting we had four DNSs today, three of them from Israel Premier Tech in Pickrell, Woods, and Reisberg, and also Lipovic, the sensation of the Tour of Romandy, didn't start today because of illness. Scott's chaotic stage. It was absolutely chaotic, but Pelayo Sanchez was a very deserving victor from a breakaway.
Yeah, we spoke about him at the Vuelta España. He was up there in a number of stages. And yeah, Movistar getting a stage. Wow. Yeah, it was a great little battle between the three of them. You had Luke Plapp, the kind of the tantralist, the engine. You had Alaphilippe. We know how Alaphilippe is. Well, it's not the same Alaphilippe, but if we had the 2019 Alaphilippe, I think he would have been all over those two guys for sure. Pelayo Sanchez, his first ever Giro tie and winning a stage. A great stage. I think the Giro has been very good this year compared to last year, for sure.
Yeah, it's, me and my dad were actually saying this, is that it has been, like, every stage has been good. And there's been a reason to tune into every single stage, not just to watch the finale, but actually to watch a prolonged period of the race. You know, I'm sitting down most afternoons to watch it. It's fantastic. And yeah, it was a really good interest with the breakaway, the formation phase, and the constant battle that was going on. It was a real kind of, it was a real stage to watch as much of it as you could do. And yeah, Sanchez, I mean, he was brought into Movistar this year, I think, and because he was in Burgos, I think, last year. What a pickup by Movistar to get a Grand Tour winner. You know, what a way to kind of pay the team back for giving faith in him.
Yeah, we might as well move the conversation a bit on to teams. Obviously, you, a team member, have Tadej Pogačar, but yeah, what was that about in the beginning? Tadej Pogačar didn't win the stage, so what was all the work for?
Yeah, people might not like what I'm going to say, but we talked, you know, Ineos Grenadiers were slagged off the other day for their tactics. Alpecin messed up yesterday.
Oh, don't worry, they're coming again. Ineos are not in the good books today. I loved what they did on one of the sectors, but we'll talk about that later.
But now it's the UAE Team Emirates on the chop block. No, they are not. They are not safe from it because they messed up, in my opinion. Their strategy didn't make sense today. It wasn't consistent. They neutralized the break formation phase with Bjerg, who was just hammering it on the front, to bring back that 20-ish rider group, which, you know, the closest person in GC was like 14th in Van Zevenon or something like that. But you've got a 40-ish kilometer TT tomorrow where he's going to lose like 5 minutes anyway to Pogačar. So I don't get why UAE was so hell-bent on pacing today. If it was to try and win the stage, they failed miserably. And Pogačar wasn't even sprinting at the end for a top 10. I know the bonus seconds were gone, but it was just all very, nothing was adding up. He didn't attack on that late climb to try and gain seconds. And they didn't attack the gravel sectors. He was isolated at times. And that was because of their incessant pacing at the start to try and bring back a breakaway, which ultimately ended up winning. Like, nothing adds up in what UAE Team Emirates did today.
Yeah, okay then. Ineos Grenadiers, I thought they did a sterling effort on, I think, the first part where they really ripped up the bunch on the gravel sectors, obviously using, like you said, all of their rouleurs to really string out. That was some really good racing. Obviously, we saw them do this in a similar light in Molteno with Egan Bernal back in 2021. But then, when all the gravel was gone and the breakaway was probably going to win the stage, they were still pacing at the front. This is where you should be putting the onus on UAE Team Emirates. They have the Mali Rosa, and there was no attacks being done by Geraint Thomas or anyone. So that left me a bit frustrated once again, Ineos.
Yeah, I was fully expecting us to cut back into that 20% climb and see UAE Team Emirates, who've had Groschartner and Micah in that group, doing a hard lead out for Pogačar to attack off. Because why wouldn't you? It was an opportunity to gain 20 seconds today. Maybe they're thinking ahead to the TT, I don't know, but it's never stopped Pogačar before doing this kind of thing. I just don't get what UAE were doing. And yeah, you're right. Why were Ineos just pacing on the front other than just good positioning, I guess? And also, like, just another team to throw in there, because everyone's up on the firing line today. Decathlon had so many riders in there, and Ben O'Connor was just like mid-pack. And I'm just like, dude, like, you were caught out in that gravel sector. You've got about four teammates around you, the two Palipencilers, Larry Warbass, Van der Arm, or whoever. Get to the front. Got all the teammates to guide you in there. And you just, incessant on following wheels. Like, I just think, the gravel just got to people today. They just were like, oh my word, the gravel's going to kill me. And all of a sudden, all sense of strategy went out the window.
But in terms of, well, I don't know why I went there first. Luke Clapp, yeah, well, we can link it. They've been a team with a lot of crashes, seeing Eddie Dunbar hampered because of it. And now the duo is changed ever so slightly because they still have Caleb Ewan in that. But Luke Clapp was in the virtual Maglia Rosa for a bit today. And that would have been great if that had happened. And then the team would have had a real spotlight on them. But how do you see Luke Clapp doing for the rest of his first Giro here? It's only his second Grand Tour as well.
I think it's more breakaways, personally. I think based upon stage two up to Europa, unless he warms up into the race, which is very possible, I just think he's more of a breakaway style rider than a just slogging it out in the GC group rider. And also that would be so much more entertaining to go for breakaways rather than just sit in the GC group and just slowly get dropped, just rather sad. You know, I hope he goes into the breakaways more because I think based upon today, he stands a much better chance of getting success that way.
And we might as well finish on the number of non-starters as well. It looks like Israel Prementeck is almost wiped out. Obviously, you're going to be very sad about Florian Lipovits. There's a lot of riders who have left the race that is going to change the dynamic. Florian Lipovits was so strong only a few days ago up to Europa. So that's a big loss for Dani Martinez, who's sitting very pretty in GC right now.
Yeah, I think, especially when you consider that on that whole Europa climb, it was really Lipovits' work which was driving that second group. And if you didn't have Lipovits there, you would have first had this group two dynamic of people going, well, you need to work, or you need to work, or it's just attacks and counterattacks. And he provided that sense of kind of continuity and that, you know, I'm going to pace, don't worry. So without him, yeah, maybe that kind of group two dynamic might start kind of firing up again once we hit the next mountain top finishes.
Well, with that, that's basically it for stage six, the gravel stage. Patrick, was it worth it?
I thought it was entertaining. Yes,
I wouldn't watch that. Gravel time trial up the Stelvio. No. But yeah, that's basically it for this recap race analysis. Make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel to help us out as well, and comment down below. Get involved in the conversation. What did you think of the stage? Do you agree with Patrick or me? Ineos and UAE, were they in the strategy naughty book today? And as always, check out Patrick's own channel, Audio Cycling, and the Echelon Cycling Podcast as well to see more of him. But with all that out of the way, have a good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are, and we will see you tomorrow.